Boy, I enjoyed that wonderful singing, didn't you? You know, it's I enjoy learning new songs, but I also, Brother Nathan, I enjoy being able to kind of belt out the old ones, though, too. Amen. That's something to think about, you know. Ain't it right, Brother Rodney? And when you get together and you just know it, you know, I like that. Doesn't matter where you're at, but when you get together, you know it. Boy, I tell you, those are a blessing. It's a blessing to be here tonight, and I've really been looking forward to it, and just getting ready to look forward to seeing each of you tonight. And I just praise God for this study. To me, it's just gotten deeper each week, and I've gained more and grown more, I think, through it each week, just being able to recount what God has done just throughout the history of time. You're going back, I know we're doing a lot through the Jewish history at this point, but just thinking about all the marvelous things he's done. You know, I know we have a lot of prayer objects, and we'll be praying here in a little while, Lord willing. And I know if we're not careful, honestly, if we're not careful, we'll get our eyes and our hearts upon our problems or the problems and things that we're facing, and absolutely not making light of that. But I think for just a few minutes, if we could just have a good time in the Lord, I think it'd be good for all of us. I know I need it. I do. There's enough busyness in life that goes on and things, but I tell you, the Lord's good, and he's got a plan. He's got us taken care of, and I want us to know that. If you will, let's turn to Joshua chapter number 2. Joshua chapter number 2, and we're continuing on in our study again of faith. This is faith part 17, and I'm going to read just one verse for us over in Hebrews, but we might as well just stay here in Joshua chapter number 2. And this is probably one of my favorite books of the Bible. It's very action-packed, has a lot of symbolism. As far as our lesson goes, it says, "By faith the harlot Rahab perished not with them that believed not, when she had received the spies with peace." So we're seeing kind of a different view here. Tonight I want to entitle this, "On the Inside Looking Out." On the inside looking out. So last week, if you remember, where we started, or kind of what we were talking about with Joshua, where he was, they were on the outside looking in. And they were trying to see what they were up against, what they were going to face. It wasn't a matter of, can we take this city? I want us to see and know that God had already promised this land to them. It was already given to them. They just wanted to see the best route, the best way about going about taking the city. And you remember, now let's go back and let's kind of just get our minds kind of framed right for this, because there's a lot in it. When you look at where you were going with Moses did not enter into this promised land because of his unbelief, because of his disobedience. And if you look at Moses, he represents the law. The law cannot get you and I where we want to go. We need to understand that. It's by faith. We remember Caleb and Joshua, when it was time to send in the spies at that time to see the land. And you know how people back when they went back, the majority of them said, "We can't take this land. They're just, the opposition is just too great. We'll never get there. We can't make it." Then Joshua and Caleb, they said, "You know what? I think I can. I think we can. We have a God, and we're going to put our confidence in him. And I think through him, we can get there." But how sad for Moses to have led as long as he did, serve the purpose that he did, and not be able to make it into the land. But, you know, we are to go on. You think about the river that we crossed last week in our study, the river there, the Jordan River, and that's not representing death. It's representing going through Christ to get through the Christian life that he wants us to have. Because you see, there's battles, there's giants and things in the land of Canaan, and there are things that mankind had to face over there. So we know that's not representative of heaven. In heaven, there's no battles over there. There's no sickness. There's no more death. There's no more pain. There's no battles in heaven. So we know it's not representative of that. But it's the Christian life. And I heard something today in my study that I had never heard before that really spoke to me. And I haven't done the math to see if it's mathematically correct, but I would say it's probably pretty close. You remember when when God told Moses, he told them to go, when you look back through the history, when it was promised, the land was promised to them to go, and wherever your foot touches, that's your land. You take it. It belongs to you. I'm giving that to you. You know, for me, I would think that, wow, if you're going to give me all this, Brother Bill, then I'm just going to put my tennis shoes on. I'm just going to go claim it all. I mean, wouldn't you? I mean, in this economy, if somebody said you can have all the land you want, Brother James, wouldn't you put your shoes on and go try to claim as much as you could? And that just makes good sense. So, I mean, that's what was given out. But, you know, when we look at this, when you look where they actually traveled, if you follow the children of Israel, and again, I've not studied this out, but I thought it was very interesting. They said, you know, the children of Israel only claimed about 10% of what God promised them. You ever think about that? You ever heard that? I hadn't heard that before. Only claimed about 10% of what the Lord had promised them. That just doesn't make any sense. But if we look at what this represents, the land of Canaan, that represents the Christian life. How high of a percentage have you claimed in the Christian life? I'm asking myself this question. I let things get to me. I let things in this life get to me and kind of hold me down. And we stop walking and we stay in place and we stop claiming. What? That's not what God has intended for us to do. He wants us to go out and claim the land and take part in the land and live in the land that He's promised for us. You see, as they get there and they approach this, you know, last week after they'd crossed the river and they were looking inside, they were kind of afraid of what was going to be on the inside. I think a lot of times we as Christians, we feel like we're outnumbered and then we're in the minority. And then that we just don't have a chance, we don't have hope. But I tell you, in God we have more than hope. We have a promise that He's made to us. Not just that we can live in the land here, but we got a land to go to over there. That makes me even more excited, just to have a glimpse here. Not that we won't have hardships and battles, but He does have a way that we can have a successful or an abundant life here on earth. But the prize is over in heaven. I think we all agree with that. But you see how they were looking, Joshua and they were looking in to see what it was going to be like about getting into the city. And again, we saw last week that there was no pride in flesh. Flesh did not get them into the city. Flesh wasn't enough. It took God and God's plan. We kind of pick up that same place here tonight. The way that we get into heaven is only by God's plan, absolutely nothing to do with the flesh. We can't boast in anything. We can't praise ourselves for anything. We can't try to rationalize things in our mind, because the plan that God had last week, it didn't make sense. You go around six times, one each day for 6 days and say nothing. But on the seventh day, you go around seven times and then shout and blow the trumpet and the walls will just fall. They had to be obedient. They had to listen to what the Lord was telling them to do, and thank the Lord they were, and they had good results. By faith, they did that. Tonight, we see a different account here. We see a completely different view. We see last week that they were on, the children of Israel were on the outside looking in. But tonight we see somebody that's on the inside, inside of that city, looking out. It's a different point of view. And I'll go further with that here in just a minute, because it does go deeper than that. You see the lowliest state of the person that we're talking about here. And we'll start here with Joshua chapter 2. In verse number 1, and we'll just read here, we'll just go chronologically down through this chapter here. And it says, "And Joshua the son of Nun sent out of Shittim two men to spy secretly, saying, Go view the land, even Jericho. And they went and came into an harlot's house named Rahab and lodged there." Now, I don't know exactly why they went there. Maybe that was commonplace, and I'm not trying to read a whole lot into it. Take it at face value and take it literally. I don't know what it was exactly like in that culture and time, but maybe two strangers showing up in the land, where could they go and maybe not be noticed? And maybe this was a place that they could do that. I don't know. My mind kind of went to old westerns, and when those cowboys had come into town, they'd kind of go to the saloon, these places and what have you. And I'm not saying these two spies are cowboys. I'm not saying they're drunkards. I'm not saying that. But if you're a spy, do you not want to fly under the radar? I don't think they went to the Capitol building and say, "Hey, we're here to see what you got." I don't think they went to the sheriff's department. I don't think they went to the armory, the National Guard, and said, "Hey, what you guys got going on?" I think they wanted to be hidden. And I think that's part of the plan here. But you see, in this city, anytime strangers were to come around, that would be made known pretty quick, and it was. You see, when you're nervous about somebody coming in and taking over the city, they're being watched. You know, the children of Israel and their God, Jehovah Jireh, the provider, when their God was made known to other people about what he could do, it was spread abroad. You know, the world knew about Israel's God. They knew about him. I think sometimes in this day and time, we don't see it that way. We don't think the world knows about our God, but I tell you, if we told more people about him and explained to more people what he's done for us, maybe that would be a little bit different. It was what they heard. It was talked about. It was explained here. We see here in verses number 2 and 3, it says, "It was told the king of Jericho, saying, Behold, there came men in hither tonight of the children of Israel to search out the country." He already knew. They tried to be secretive. They came in. The king heard about it, and it said, "The king of Jericho sent out unto Rahab, saying, Bring forth the men that are come to thee, which are entered into thine house, for they be come to search out all the country." So the king came to this harlot's house. I believe we all know what a harlot is, and what this person, this lowly life, or this sad life that this person was living. And the king had come to her, sent people to her. Maybe he didn't go himself, probably, but sent to her to say, "Where are these spies at? We know why they're here. We understand and know this. There's enemies inside the camp, inside the city walls, these walls that we have up to keep these people out, and I know the Israelites are in here." Now, you think about her estate, her lowly estate. She probably didn't have a lot of people to rely on and pull from. She probably didn't have a lot of connections, a lot of what I would say security. You know, this day and time, a person like that, if they were to be found guilty of treason or something like that, they could probably end up in prison or worse, probably worse in this day and time. I think a lot of times there, people were executed for not listening to the king and being obedient. Very well could have happened. So she had a decision to make. She's in the security of the city that she lives in. She's a Canaanite, so she's in her city, in the safety of her city. And now there's spies that are showing up at her house, just two, and you got the whole city. And only two men from the outside have come in. Now, logically, you say, this just isn't worth it. These two people, I don't know exactly what they're going to do. We'll get to that in just a minute, because she did, but she had to weigh this out. Do I listen to my king? Or do I be more obedient unto who I believe these people are and what their God is capable of? You see, I think that would serve us well in this day and time to remember who our God is. When we feel outnumbered, or when we feel insecure about witnessing to people or living the life before people, we're supposed to remember we're not outnumbered with the God of Israel. We're not outnumbered with him. We're absolutely in the majority. But she had a decision to make. We're going to see a few things here. We're going to see about four things, and it was nice that it would actually kind of come together. But we see here Rahab, first of all, we see her response. The king had come to her, and she had a decision to make. Do I turn these men in, or do I do something else for fear that these people might do something to me and to my family? So we see here in verses number 4 through 7, we're seeing Rahab's response. "And the woman took the two men and hid them and said thus, There came men unto me, but I wist not whence they were. And it came to pass about the time of shutting the gate, when it was dark and the men went out, whither the men went, I walked not. Pursue after them quickly, for ye shall overtake them. But she had brought them up to the roof of the house, and had with the stalks of flax which she had laid in order upon the roof. And the men pursued after them the way to Jordan unto the fords, and as soon as they which pursued after them were gone out, they shut the gate." She lied to them. She said, "If you will really hurry, that they came through, but if you'll really hurry and go back, if you could probably catch them to get them off of her tracks, to get them to move and to get them gone away." But she'd already hid them. You know, her mind was already working. Her mind was already trying to figure things out. She was put in an interesting situation I don't think she asked to be in. You go back and you kind of play it through your mind and look at it this way. And I think about it, how I associated with it was when I was lost. You know, when the Lord started dealing with me, going to church and the Lord started dealing with me, I had to start figuring things out. I had to start thinking for myself. How is this going to work out? The preaching I've heard, what I've heard about the gospel, if this is true, then I have to do something. That's what I categorize this as. This is what I compare this to. She was dealing with, the God of Israel was dealing with her, and it came to her house. She had to do something. She's already involved now. She had decisions to make. You know, if the Lord is convicting your heart now, you're already involved. And that's not a bad place to be, by the way. He cares enough to come and knock on your heart, to come to your house and deal with you and let you make a decision. You're in a good place. He wants you to make the right decision. That's what he's wanting you to do. And you see here Rahab's response. She knew what she needed to do. She had already thought this out just a little bit. She hid the men. But this is important right here that we take note of this and verses 8 through 14, I want us to see Rahab's reasoning. She was laying this out in her mind. This is the why. This is the why I need to do this. She'd already kind of invested her time. She'd invested herself. She had invested her home. She was in a dangerous place if she was found out. If she's found out by the king and those that were in the town, in the city, in Jericho. But she had some reasoning to do. She had to think some things out. And boy, I get a blessing out of this. We look at verses 8 through 14. It says, "And before they were laid down, she came up to them upon the roof." She went and visited with those two men that she had hid. She wanted to talk to them. And she said unto the men, "I know that the Lord hath given you the land." She had already heard enough that she was convinced. She said, "I already know you guys are going to win." You ever think the world looks at us like that? I think a lot of times we kind of think the world feels like they have the upper hand and look at us like we're archaic or something just kind of off in left field somewhere. But you know, there's a lot of people in the world, I think, just trying to figure things out. They probably have more fear than what we would give them credit for in their reasoning. You know, when we praise God and we tell people what God has done for us, that makes people reason. That makes people think. Because there's not anybody that I know that is not in need for something. And if you tell somebody that, "Hey, I think I have an answer. I think I have somebody that can help you," a lot of times they'll listen. Especially if you tell them how the Lord has helped you. Maybe he can help me. I think Rahab kind of found herself in this situation because now she was in fight or flight mode. I have to do something. It's kind of like conviction. Is the way I would categorize that. I remember when I was lost and the Lord was dealing with me and I was in that position. I'm like, I have to do something. I can't just sit here in this state and just let whatever be. I have to do something. The Lord kind of puts it in your hands. And she went to these men and she's telling them, and she said unto the men, "I know that the Lord hath given you the land." She was confident. Why? "And that your terror is falling upon us, and that all the inhabitants of the land faint because of you." We're afraid of you. We respect you. You see this big wall out here? It's because of you. We didn't want you to come in, and now you're here in my home. We kind of build that wall, I think, sometimes as lost people, that conviction comes upon us and our hearts, they start trying to get a little callous and try to push that away. Say, "No, I'm really not that bad of a person. No, I really am okay. I'm a good person." Whatever it is that we would tell ourselves, whatever lie that would be, and try to put that wall up. Beautiful thing about this, the wall had already been compromised here tonight. We can see this. There's already in the land. And they're scared to death of what the children of Israel were going to do, or some of them was. And you say, why? It says here, verse number 10, "For we have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea for you." See, she put that in there. You know, it's one thing Sister Sharon, for us to tell people what the Lord has done for us. But when the world is telling you what the Lord has done for you, that's a true testament. That's knowledge, Brother Raymond. That's knowledge. These people knew. She knew who she was dealing with. Not the spies, but the God of the Israelites. That's very powerful to me. And she said unto them, I know the Lord that hath given you the land, and that your terror is falling upon us, and that all the inhabitants of the land faint because of you. For we have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea for you when you came out of Egypt, and what you did unto the two kings of the Amorites that were on the other side of Jordan, Sihon and Og, whom ye utterly destroyed. Man, she's giving them a history lesson. You know, this is very interesting to me tonight, because up to this point you have Paul reminding us in Hebrews, reminding the Hebrews what the Lord has done for them. And in this book, in this chapter right here, you have the world, you have a Canaanite, you have an outsider telling the insiders what their God has done for them. That really speaks to me. I mean, you imagine those two spies sitting there looking at this woman, this harlot, this lowly person, and her telling them how good their God has been to them. That's probably shouting ground right there, I would think. Like, yeah, he has been good to us. Yeah, he's taken care of us. Yes, he has provided for us. He is very well taken care of us. And as soon as we had heard these things, our hearts did melt, neither did there remain any more courage in any man. We fell apart. We fell apart because we knew you were coming. Just because of who your God is, our hearts melted within us. For the Lord your God, he is God in heaven above and in the earth beneath. He's the God. You think about the Canaanites, the Egyptians, you think about the people of this time, they worshiped many lowercase gods. They had a god for everything. Sun gods, moon gods. You remember Pharaoh. You had the fertility frog god. You had a god for everything. Moon, wind, stars, whatever. But she's proclaiming to them, but you serve the God of Israel, the God of heaven, the God of the earth beneath, the God. She knew who she was dealing with. And I want you to know something tonight. If you're lost and you're feeling conviction in your heart, that's who you're dealing with. You're not dealing with anybody else. It's the God of heaven that you're dealing with. It's nothing else. It's not Satan. It's not any of these false gods. You're dealing with the God of heaven. He's the only one that can convict your heart of sin. We're going beyond having a conscience. We're talking about the Lord convicting you of your need. You see, Rahab is reasoning these things out. And she said this in verse number 12. Said, now therefore, I pray you, swear unto me by the Lord, since I have showed you kindness, that you will also show kindness unto my father's house and give me a true token. She knew her only hope was to try to help these men out. These men were serving God. You see a turning in her. She didn't harden her heart against them. She opened her heart and her home to them. And she had a reason to do that. Verse 13, and that ye will save alive my father and my mother and my brethren and my sisters, and that all they have, and deliver our lives from death. I will help you if you help me. Please don't kill me and my family. Boy, that's a vulnerable state, isn't it? She knew that judgment was coming. She knew hard times were coming. And she wasn't just looking out for herself. She had her family in her mind also. That's a big thing. You imagine tonight if it was you and your family that you're concerned about that are lost, the impending need. You see, they made a deal here. Verse number 14, and the men answered her, our life for yours. If ye utter not this our business, And it shall be when the Lord hath given us the land that we will deal kindly and truly with thee. You help us out and you don't give us away our life for yours. You know what Jesus said on the cross and what he did? It's pretty evident, isn't it? My life for yours. That's powerful. You think about that. I will give my life so you don't have to give yours. You couldn't do it anyway. God knew how vulnerable we are. You see the state that she's in here. It was over for her. There was nothing that she could do. But you know, these men, they said, our lives for yours. We see Rahab's reasoning. Verses 15 through 24, I'll read these hurriedly, but I want us to see Rahab's regard. She considered this seriously. When you look at regard, that's what she was doing. This was the plan. This is what she was to do to make this happen. So they knew that they were on the same page. Behold, when we come into the land, thou shalt bind this line of scarlet thread in the window, which thou didst let us down by, and thou shalt bring thy father and thy mother and thy brethren and all the father's household home unto thee. Bring all your people in with thee into this place where this scarlet thread is at, so we can see it, we can recognize it. Something that we can look at so we know this is your house, because it's not just going to be me and the spy, it's going to be somebody else. It's going to be other people. We want this to work. So we need to know why this place is protected. We need to be able to see why this is a protected place. And it shall be that whosoever shall go out of the doors of thy house into the street, his blood shall be upon his head, and we will be guiltless. And whosoever shall be with thee in the house, his blood shall be upon our head, if in any hand be upon him. You stay in where you're supposed to stay. You get in and you stay where you're supposed to stay, and you will be protected. I like the scarlet thread. I think we can see a good symbolism there. The blood of Jesus Christ. You get in under the blood, you're saved. You're covered. When judgment comes, when that day and time comes, when God looks down, when judgment looks down upon us, and you're covered by the blood, that's what you see is the blood of Jesus Christ. That's what he'll see. That's one of mine. He's covered. He's safe. He's guarded. He's protected. He's sealed forever. That's what he sees there. You see here in verse number 20, if thou shalt utter our business, then we will be quit of thine oath, which thou hast made us to swear. And she said, according unto your words, so be it. And she sent them away, and they departed. And she bound the scarlet line in the window, and they went and came into the mountain and abode there 3 days until the pursuers were returned, those men that were following after them there at the beginning of this chapter. And the pursuers sought them throughout all the way, but found them not. They were able to go back. The two spies were able to make it back safely to their camp. So the two men returned and descended from the mountain and passed over and came to Joshua the son of Nun and told him all things that befell them. And they said unto Joshua, truly the Lord hath delivered it into our hands, all the land. For even all the inhabitants of the country do faint because of us. They were encouraged after that. You know, when they went over the first time, they saw the giants and everything, they big old grasshoppers and all that stuff, they didn't like that. But when they heard these people are afraid of them, they were had a little spring in their step after that. They were encouraged. The end. That's all I'm going to tell you. No, I'm just kidding. It gets better. But wait, there's more. You want to hear the rest of the story, don't you? Well, you see Rahab's regard. Let's go to Joshua chapter number 6. A couple of pages over. Let's look at verses 22 through 27. I want us to see Rahab's reward. If you've ever accepted the Lord, let me tell you this, he's never forgotten. He knows where you're at, Brother Norman. He knows where we're at. We're talking about that and singing about heaven and our home that we're going to. He knows where we're at and he knows where he's going to take us. He's got us covered. I tell you, it just feels good to know that I don't have to worry about trying to make something happen that I can't. trying to keep something in line that I can't. I couldn't live that way. It'd be a hard way to live. Absolutely not a license to sin, but we live by faith. I want us to see tonight too, again, talking about faith, and it's not just about the people. That's the examples that we have. What we're seeing here, what we've been studying, is the testimonies of others. But it's the faith. That's the substance. That's what we need to focus on, that faith. You can have that faith. It's not just for other people. It's not something that other people can experience and you and I can't. We just have to give it to Him. We got to entrust Him with things. You imagine all these people now, her family inside her house, and they're starting to hear the walls cave in. The soldiers are coming in. You remember last week, those soldiers, I know how they are when they're ready and waiting. They're finally going inside now instead of just standing there and not doing anything. They were told to go in and utterly take the city. You can read this chapter 6 in total to see that in its entirety there. But I want to read this here, verses 22 through 27. But Joshua said unto the two men that had spied out the country, go into the harlot's house and bring out the woman and all that she hath, as ye swear unto her. Joshua remembered. Joshua remembered. You know, Joshua is a type of the Lord Jesus Christ. If you look up his name, it's the same meaning as Jeshua. It's the same meaning as Jesus. God is salvation. Aren't you glad he remembers us? He remembers our sin no more, but he remembers us and he knows where we're at. And the young men that were spies went in and brought out Rahab and her father and her mother and her brethren and all that she had, and brought out all her kindred and left them without the camp of Israel. Took them to safety. You know, you think about what it's going to be like to leave out of this world one day. All this is going on. All this will be taking place. All this mayhem, all this confusion, all this that you'll see be going on. But then the church will be called out. A lot of people want to fight the rapture like it's not going to happen. It's going to happen. And if you're saved, Brother Norman, I don't know why you wouldn't want it to happen. Why would you want to argue that point? We get to fly out of here. You know how much money NASA has spent on trying to get to the moon and get to Mars? We get to blow right past that. Get to go to that third heaven where he lives. People want to fight it. But Joshua said unto the two men that had spied out the country, go into the harlot's house and bring out thence the woman and all that she hath, as ye swear unto her. And the young men that were spies went in and brought out Rahab and her father and her mother and her brethren, all that she had. And they brought out all her kindred and left them without the camp of Israel. And look what happened here. And they burnt the city with fire, and all that was therein, with only the silver and the gold, and the vessels of brass and of iron, they put into the treasury of the house of the Lord. Joshua saved Rahab the harlot alive, and their father's household, all that she had. And she dwelleth in Israel even unto this day, because she hid the messengers which Joshua sent out to spy out the city. I'll read the last couple of verses. And Joshua adjured them at that time, saying, cursed be the man before the Lord that riseth up in the building of this city, Jericho. He shall lay the foundation thereof in his firstborn, and his youngest son shall be set up in the gates of it. So the Lord was with Joshua, and with his fame was noised throughout all the country. But we see here, I'm going to read one last verse to you, because it keeps going on. You'll also find in the genealogy of Jesus Christ, you'll find Rahab mentioned in there. Also here, one of the things that we see in James chapter number 4, I believe it's chapter number 4, I had it right here with me. I might have went past it. I'm seeing it right here. James chapter number 4, verse 25, or 225, says, likewise was also not Rahab the harlot justified by works when she had received the messengers and had sent them out another way. She was justified by her faith. But I want to close with this. I think this is very interesting here. Up until this point, who have we talked about? And it just dawned on me today and kind of looked at it. So when I found it, I wasn't surprised to find it. Up until this point, you remember Abraham, Isaac, Jacob. Remember Moses. You remember all that line, that lineage there, the Jewish people that God had made the promise to. Isn't it interesting now that for the first time you see somebody outside of the Jewish faith being adopted in, being rewarded for their faith? If I'm not mistaken, and I, maybe not hold me to it because I'm still studying on it, but if I'm not mistaken, I believe you'll find that she's one of the first Gentile or non-Jewish, she was a Canaanite, non-Jewish converts to the Jewish faith. Think about that. Study it. Go back and read it. Go back and look through. And what we've seen so far in this study is the promise of what we've seen to the Jewish people. But aren't you thankful he allowed us as Gentiles to be involved with this also? I say praise the Lord to that. I think it's an amazing thing. You see her estate, see her condition, but because of her faith, the Lord saved her. God saved her life. Joshua saved her and allowed her to come out of the city. I see so much typology there, and I'll definitely stop with that, but I praise the Lord for his word and what it teaches us. And I tell you, church, we were designed, and we're not perfect, but we were designed to live in the land of Canaan. We're designed to live in the good land. And if we're not there, we're kind of stepping around that 10% walking distance, it's our fault. It's not the Lord's fault. But I definitely want to be closer to him and get more from him. And I will stop there. I do have a couple of announcements and prayer requests that I did want to mention before we do pray tonight.